Today on the Steve Hallstrom Show, a lot of people in Fargo feel safe living here, according to a new survey. A lot of people in North Dakota hopped on an airplane in 2025. A lot of people have already self-deported, and Christy Noem says a lot more will soon join them. A lot of people across Minnesota are going to skip work and school today to tell the world they hate Donald Trump. And a lot of people across America refinanced their home last week. Good morning, my friend. Good to be with you back in the Fargo studio today on the Steve Hallstrom Show. I always love going out to Watford City. I grew up in a hog and cattle farm, and just being back in that rural economy just feels good. Love going out to Western North Dakota. It's a bit of a drive to get out there. Got home a little late last night, but all good. And always happy to be back in here in the studio with my buddy Addison. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm good. No major complaints from cold, but warming up.
You know, it is, but I will also say this. It is calm and it is sunny, which to me feels better than if it was like 5 above, which is 25 degrees warmer than it is right now. If it was cloudy and breezy and 5, I will take this any day over that. And it's not convenient. It's not handy. I'm sorry if you have to work outside today.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be
easy for me to say just looking out the window here. But I will take this. It doesn't hurt. At least not right away.
No, not right away. No, it was that first breath I took when I walked outside my apartment, though. That was sharp. Boy, I felt that.
It is a different kind of cold than what we typically get, no doubt about that. All right, we're going to rock and roll here today because I've got so dang much to tell you. I don't know how we're going to fit all this stuff into 2 hours today, but we got to get rolling. I'm not even going to preview the show today. We got two great guests, a lot of great stuff to talk about. I got a really good best thing I heard all day, and we're going to do something fun here that we haven't done before on the show, a little game of truth or trash. And I've got a couple of, Addison, if you can give me the deck here for a second, I've got a couple little sounders I'm going to play for you when I kind of go through something that I heard somebody say, and I'm going to decide if it's either truth.
Handle the truth.
Yeah, let me do that again.
You can't handle the truth.
Or if it's trash. So we're going to have Jack Nicholson and Oscar the Grouch join us here on the program today. So all that and more coming up on an action-packed edition of the Steve Hallstrom Show. Good morning, my friend. Great to be with you, whether you are in Fargo, in the Red River Valley, Morehead, West Fargo, anywhere on the eastern side of the state, KTGO, land out in Tioga, Watford City, Williston, Minot, Stanley, Tioga. Great to have you with. Let's get to it here today with the Morning Wire here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. January 23rd. 2026. Got to remember to say that the right way there. And the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. And here is your almanac for today for the 23rd of January. Average high in Fargo Moorhead, West Fargo is 18. Average low minus 1. Record high 52 in 1942. Record low 36 below in 1883. Sunrise this morning was at 8:01. When we get together on Monday, the sun will rise before 8 a.m. Isn't that great? Love all that. 5:17 Central Time will be our sunset tonight. We will gain 2 minutes and 23 seconds of daylight today. In the market today, it's been a bit of a slow start on Wall Street, although there is some green on the board. Dow is down 256, S&P 500 up 1. So basically unchanged. NASDAQ up 52. So some good news, some bad news, depending on what you're looking for. WTI crude oil today up about $1.75 at $61.15. Highest price in a while. Maybe that'll mean some good things for economic activity out in the oil patch. It was a little slow out there when I was there over the last couple of days. Gold today up $31 an ounce. Silver up $3.07 at $99.45. We're going to hit $100 an ounce on silver, I believe, today. Bitcoin today, unchanged. Bitcoin is like the boring old, just trend sideways, nothing up, nothing down, just kind of sitting there, while gold and silver are flying around like a kid at an amusement park. It's bizarre how this is all happening. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $2.86. That's up 1 penny from yesterday. North Dakota average price $2.53. Minnesota $2.68. South Dakota $2.62. All right, in the news today, Fargo's Hector International Airport was among airports in North Dakota that set new highs for passenger travel in 2025, reports the forum today. North Dakota Aeronautics Commission released the report showed that the state's 8 commercial airports had about 1.3 million airline passenger boardings last year, eclipsing the old record of just under 1.3 back in 2024. We like to get on planes in this state. At this time of year, can you blame us? Also, a forum with a story today showing the results of a Fargo community survey. 61% surveyed said they feel completely safe in their neighborhood. As far as their biggest concerns, drugs, number one, reckless driving and speeding, number two, and a perceived lack of police resources came in, number three. 64%, though, of those surveyed said there are parts of Fargo that they consider unsafe. Also in the news today, WDAY Radio reports that Rick Berg, former state representative, has been appointed the interim president of North Dakota State University starting on February 9th. The current pres, David Cook, is leaving NDSU for the same position, school president at Iowa State University in Ames, Iowa. Cook's last day at NDSU will be Sunday, February 8th. And so Rick Berg, a guy who knows a little something about higher ed, something about state government, I think it's a great fit. And congrats to Rick for getting that little spot there. Good for him. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar has filed paperwork to form a campaign committee to run for governor, reports CNN. She filed the paperwork yesterday, which is sort of the first step in making it all happen there. No official announcement has been made, but a representative for Klobuchar told CNN the senator plans to make an announcement of her plans in the coming days. She has been rumored to be the big Democrat name to jump into the pool now that Tim Walz has said that he will not try to run for a third term. Congratulations to Michelle Comer, a friend of the program and occasional host here on the Steve Holstrom Show. She has been appointed as the latest representative to the State Board of Higher Education by Governor Kelly Armstrong. Her seat came open because Levi Bachmeyer resigned after taking on Kirsten Basler's old job of North Dakota Superintendent of Public Instruction. Comer's owned and operated a number of businesses, High Road Partners that we tell you about here on the flag all the time, and has worked for Job Service North Dakota as well. Business owner, community leader, and a wonderful human being. Good, smart conservative. She's a faith, family, freedom gal. I think she'll serve that position very, very well. Valley News Live reports that a Detroit Lakes man is facing charges after Fargo police recovered a stolen rental vehicle less than an hour after it was reported missing January 16th. Basically, Christopher Anderson, 31 years of age, was arrested after stealing a vehicle that was heating up. Somebody left the doors open, left the key fob in it, and Chris Anderson said, hey, here's a chance for me to acquire a vehicle. Problem is, that's against the law. Star Tribune reports that ICE now, according to Homeland Security statistics, says that 10,000 criminal illegal aliens in Minnesota have been arrested. ICE is, according to the Star Tribune, has not offered all of the evidence to back it up. But since when have we asked? We didn't ask Joe Biden for evidence on anything. But now, of course, since it's Trump, we're going to, bust their chops for, well, what if you're lying about us? Because, of course, nobody ever lied before Donald Trump got back in office there. And meanwhile, thousands of Minnesotans are expected to skip work and school today for a day of protests across the state of Minnesota for ICE's continued presence in Minnesota. I see that Minneapolis public schools canceled school today. They are saying it's too cold for school, which, you know what? It is cold. To be fair, it is cold, and it's not without precedent for them to close school. But you do have to wonder, don't you, if they just wanted to recruit a few more kids to come out to the protest here today. CNBC reports that airlines have already canceled more than 1,000 flights across the U.S. for tomorrow because of that massive winter storm bearing down on the midpoint of the region. And Bill Malugin of Fox News reports that the federal magistrate in Minnesota who refused to sign off on an arrest warrant for Don Lemon for breaking into the church Sunday is a guy whose wife works as an assistant attorney general in Keith Ellison's office in Minnesota. You can't make it up. And those, friends, are some of the stories making headlines here on this Friday morning. When we return on the Steve Holstrom Show, story of the day, North Dakota's House has passed the free food bill option for schools. What happened to the bill that actually makes sense? I'll tell you about it when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Many ways you can be part of the program today. 701-271-1100 is our phone number. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded. That means they've got all kinds of capability to take care of you and all kinds of availability to take care of you. They do occupational therapy, physical therapy. They've got a nurse practitioner. They do mental health counseling as well. You don't have to wait weeks anymore to get in. Go to valleychristian.co, valleychristian.co, and to find out more about Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness. If you want to email us, you can sure do that. studio@flagfamily.com gets your message to me. The text line is open as well today, 701-237-1590, 701-237-1590. So please, this is your invitation. As I'm coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton, go to drivewithvision.com. A lot of great inventory down there. You can see all the new and pre-owned vehicles down there. Check out their job opportunities as well. All right, 21 past the hour here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. A couple stories before I get to story of the day. A couple of kind of quick hitters for you that I want to talk about that have something to do with numbers. So I got a couple of numbers. If you're a numbers geek like me, you might like this stuff. Mortgage refinancing jumped sharply higher for the second straight week. Applications to refinance a home loan rose 20% last week compared with the week before. 20%! The mortgage brokers and the underwriters who've been sitting around, loan officers with nothing to do, not that way right now. And last week, they were up quite a bit over the week before, too. So the interest rates are getting down there. I think I've heard you can get, who told us this? Jenny Schuster told us this from Park Company Realtors when we had her on last week, that you can get a loan in the fives now. So very, very cool on that. Second number for you. Remember I told you Tony DeCopel is the new CBS Evening News guy, and they were going to try to do a more impartial and honest news there on their nightly newscast? Well, check this out. On Monday night, so this would have been the start of his second week doing it, they got 6.4 million viewers. That's their biggest audience since 2021. 4 years, 5 years almost. How about that? And one more here for you in the numbers file today. $2,600. That is Kristi Noem's new incentive for those to voluntarily deport. She says, we're ramping it up. It used to be $2,000. Now it's $2,600. If you've seen all this stuff going on where ICE is raiding communities and you don't want to be part of that and you know you shouldn't be here, well, you can get your $2,600 exit bonus there. She says a lot more people are likely going to be self-deporting because of all this. Since January of 2025, so in the last year, the number that Homeland Security is saying is 2.2 million illegal immigrants or illegal aliens, whatever you want to call them, have voluntarily self-deported. So there we go. So maybe more will do that now. All right, story of the day is comes through some good reporting from the forum today, who is out there in Bismarck for the first day of the special session. As I told you yesterday, there are two bills they were going to be talking about. One would give universal free breakfast and lunch to everybody regardless of income at the cost of about $70 million a year. I've seen now $65 million, whatever. You get it, $65, $70 million. The other bill is one that would raise the threshold for the free meals from 225% of poverty to 300% of poverty. So basically $100,000 or less, you would be able to get the free lunch. If you're over that, no free lunch for you, no soup for you. Well, in the House yesterday, the bill to do the universal free food went through decisively. And that goes into kind of the holding tank. Now, the Senate will look at it. They'll vote on it. And if they get together on it and they agree, then this is going to go through. It is expected that it will have a harder time in the House because there are more senators who are asking the same questions, I guess, that I am here. But it went by 55. It went through 55 to 38 yesterday in the House. Senate's expected to be a much closer debate. What happened to the bill that would just have more kids at certain income levels get the free lunch? Well, that didn't go anywhere. They didn't even really discuss it, apparently. So that was an interesting situation there. So they quickly shot down that bill, 45-48-1. So they didn't like that one. The Senate will hear these bills now today. So there's then a lot of good discussion on this that, you know, different people making their points. And I would say that the strongest argument I saw on this was the, well, the two of them. Number one, somebody will say this is the only way to make sure that all kids get lunch. Okay, well, there's a way to make sure everybody drives a brand new car, too. And that is to buy a free new car for everybody. But we don't think that's a great idea. Steve Swantek made a point that when I read it first, I'm like, okay. But I'm like, wait a minute. So Steve Swantek, state rep out of Fargo here, said, hey, we did this property tax bill recently, which used some state money to give relief to everybody. It doesn't matter your income there. And so at first you're like, okay, fair point. But I started thinking, okay, no. This is that is a discount or a cutoff of bill that we are paying already. This isn't free money going anywhere. That's a discount on your property taxes. So you have a big bill to pay. We're going to take a little bit off of that and spend a little bit less as a state. That's very different than you don't have any skin in this game already, but we're just going to give you free lunch. Okay, this is a one-way street. So to me, I don't buy that. I applaud today State Representative Sue Ann Olson of Baldwin. She's a Republican. I don't know where Baldwin is. Someone will tell me here, 271-1100 or 237-1590 on the text line. She basically is saying kind of what I did. What I've said all week on this. She goes, if we do this, we'll be known as a super Republican majority state, joining 9 other Democrat states to do this. The platform that I hold very dear on the Republican side talks about personal responsibility and limited government as things we hold dear. And instead, we're willing to spend money on an additional program on making government bigger, not smaller, and not relying on our people to take responsibility. Good for you, Sue Ann Olson. I'm right there with you. Look, don't get me confused with someone who is just saying, I don't care if kids can't have food. If there is a kid who doesn't have food, parents are making low income, we have more than shown we are a good and decent people here. We're already giving you that at 225% of poverty level. Now we're going to do it potentially, hopefully, to 100,000, which I don't even know that that's right either, but I'd sure take that over everybody all the time. To me, it feels like lazy politics. It just does. And it's a little too much for me. Well, the people are going to vote on this thing anyway. It's going to be a petition, and it's going to go through all the polling. Do the right thing. Who cares what everybody else does? Don't do it just because it looks like it might happen. Do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. I don't know. I don't like what I'm seeing out of some of the. And this is a deep red legislature. I think we can be better than this and smarter than this. All right, so there you go on that. When we returned, John Severson given his second shot at the spot, West Fargo City Commission. What's going to change for him this time? Dr. Matt Eaton at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center has dedicated his career to transforming smiles and restoring confidence one patient at a time. When you meet him, you'll feel it. It's not just a job, it's his calling. At Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo, Dr. Eaton helps everybody, young, seasoned, and everyone in between. Whether you need a single tooth or a full mouth restoration, he's here with skill, compassion, and experience. Whether you've been hiding your smile for years or you're ready for a fresh start, trust his skill, compassion, and experience. Visit DakotaDentalImplant.com today. Pleased to be joined in studio today by John Severson. John is going to run for West Fargo City Commission. He did this a couple years ago as well, and he's back for another shot at the position. And there are two seats in the West Fargo City Commission that are going to be up for grabs here. John would like to be one of the people that comes in there to do that. So he is a 15-year resident of West Fargo, And I believe he's going to tell me what I remember him saying to me a couple years ago, and that we have to make sure that city government is run well and fiscally responsible. So excited to have him back here again in studio today. John, good morning. Good to see you again.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So anything changed in the last couple of years? It's still about efficiency and watching the money, right?
It is. Yeah, there's a group on Facebook, the TAP West Fargo, the Transparency. And I think to really get a real good transparent government, I think it needs to be as small as possible. That way it's easier for the citizens to look at it and go after it. So I think that's going to be part of the strategy of transparency, is to make the government as small as possible. It only needs to do what people can't do for themselves. It doesn't need to do all the other things that, there's a lot of wants and desires and things that feel good. But yeah, I think it was Thomas Sowell, a lot of what's happened in Western culture has been replaced with what works, with what feels good.
Yes.
So we need to just kind of just do what works and stick with what works, and then pare it all back to just staying there, you know.
The great Thomas Sowell.
Yes.
Yeah. So much wisdom there. You're right about that. It's too easy to get carried away, right? Because if you start running government to try to help make people's lives better, then where do you stop?
It doesn't end. I mean, and it just keeps, the budget keeps exploding. It just keeps going up and up. And then everybody complains about the size of government, or they're, it's spending too much money, but they don't want to stop some of the things. You just have to say no.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to say no. We can't do it. That's not government's responsibility.
What did you learn last time?
I think just the overall process of, getting signatures and getting it all going and then running. It was a good learning experience. I got to meet a lot of people, mm-hmm. talked to a lot of people, and it was good experience. Not the outcome I was looking for, but it's okay. We'll try again.
If memory serves, you and a gentleman named Tyler Erickson have announced to run. Is it just the two of you so far? Do you know?
As far as I know, it's just the two of us. Yeah,
and two people are leaving the commission.
Yes,
so there will be two seats there. What do you think you need to do differently this time around than last time to give yourself a better shot at getting one of those two spots?
I probably just get out and talk with people a little bit more. I mean, I went door to door to getting signatures. Weather's a little bit, going to hamper that a little bit.
I'm glad
now,
you don't have to do that today.
Yeah. But I think just getting out and meeting people and talking to them, just kind of, so they can ask questions. It was a good experience, and I learned from it, and I think we just kind of just try to build on it. Hopefully we're successful this time.
So coming back for another, getting the ring with Mike Tyson again and go through this whole thing again, why is this so important to you to do this? Because this, you don't roll out of bed and say, yeah, I think I was going to run for city commission. Why is this so important to you?
I've thought about it for a long time. I just as I was saying, the idle hands are the devil's workshops. If you got to get involved, you got to do something. Otherwise, bad things are going to happen. So I just want to try to make a difference, kind of give back to the community. I mean, West Fargo's been tremendous for my wife and I. We've, kind of settled in, and just, it's a great place to live. And I just want to see that continue. And it's not going to continue if housing prices go up, if there's no growth, if there isn't a plan to, keep things and hopefully I'd have that vision to try to make that happen.
It's a hard thing in West Fargo because the city still grows like a weed all the time. That's just going to cost more. It just is.
Yep.
How do we handle that, John?
I think just by paring back the government, like making sure that it's only providing what it needs to provide. That way, I mean, that it feeds into housing costs, everything. Like if your tax base goes up, you're charging more for property taxes. You're charging more. The budget is regulated by the state that it can only go up 3%, but mm-hmm. why does it have to go up 3%? It's only allowed to, but it did, every year you just keep adding 3% onto it. I mean, it just keeps growing and growing, and pretty soon it's not out of control necessarily, but you're just spending to spend money, I think, sometimes in a lot of places.
Can we get you to run for Fargo City Commission? They need a lot more of that kind of thinking over there.
Well, I'd have to move to Fargo. But
I'm not sure that's much of a bargain right now either.
No, I think there's some good people on the West or the Fargo City Commission too, and I think there's one that's probably going to run that'd be pretty good too. But
we hope we're close to having a little shift in the balance of power.
I think too, like one of the things I think too, like for West Fargo, I think it needs term limits as well. I know Fargo has that instituted in there. I think having a little bit of churn, you know, keeps it fresh, keeps different ideas coming in, you know, and I think that's a good, it would be a good thing for West Fargo as well.
So let's have a little fun with the news cycle today. I've been talking a lot this week about the school lunch bill going through Bismarck now. There's two of them. One would be free for everybody, and then the other would just raise the limit or the raise a threshold for where you do get it from 225% of poverty level to 300%. So you're going from like basically 70 grand to 100 grand. If you were out there, and I know this, we're talking about city government, and this is a state legislature, but this is an issue that I think maybe we can understand your mindset. If you were in the state legislature, how would you vote on that?
I would vote for the one that's 300%. I think you want kids to be able to eat. It's a hard thing because it's like, well, how can you sound heartless if you say you don't want kids to have lunch?
Or, tell me about it, brother. You know, I've been taking arrows all week
But the thing is, at what level do you say it's a parent's responsibility for their children? I mean, you get to a certain level. I mean, I would the 300% one. I'd be okay with that because you want people. You want, you know, if you're struggling, you want to help people. But there's got to be a limit. It can't just be everybody. There's doctors, lawyers, or whatever in, you know, Fargo, Bismarck, all over the state that make way more money than I do or you and I put together even, and will be feeding their children. And that's not necessarily wrong, but it's just you're asking people who don't make that kind of money to pay for people who do. And that's why I think the poverty line one is the right way to go.
How did you become a fiscal hawk, kind of the conservative way of looking at finance like you have become? How did that happen?
Well, I've had to do it in my own personal life. I mean, you can't.
Amen.
I don't have an unlimited. I can't just go. You know, I need another 10% this year. You just pay me. I mean, I've had to earn it, and I think that brings it about. I mean, you just look at it from the standpoint of if I can do it, or if all the people. I mean, everybody. You know, you can go into a little bit of debt, and then you know you kind of work your way out of it. You know, people buy houses, those kind of things, and I understand some of that, but you don't want to get so far off the rails that you can't even pull yourself back in. You know, you can get into a little debt and come back. And I think that's kind of, I think the way government needs to be. Just, you know, maybe you had a job change and you made 10% less than you did last year because the company closed or whatever happened. Right? And you had to figure out a way to live on 10% less. Well, let's see if government can do the same thing.
Isn't that something? I mean, everybody's a fiscal conservative at home.
Yes.
Because you can't do what you do in government at home. You're going to be bankrupt and be broken out of house. But we get even Republicans, good-hearted Republicans, go to the city commission, go to the state legislature, go to Congress or whatever, and all of a sudden it's different. The rules are different. Why do you think that is?
I think someone can get caught up in just the, you know, like, I know one of the things in West Fargo, and it might explain it a little bit, they were talking about government employees like, oh, if we don't raise their pay, they're going to leave. I mean, that's, you know, in a way is pretty ridiculous. I mean, if you look at, if you're a city employee, I mean, you're making a fair wage and most of them are making comparable to the private sector and they have benefits that the private sector just does not even provide.
Right.
Well, maybe they would leave, but somebody would fill their place. And I'm not trying to get rid of city workers. I don't mean it that way, but to just take that approach of, well, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. Well, there is something you can do about it. We'll figure out a way. Maybe we can give them a raise, but we can find other ways to cut the budget or reduce costs so that we can afford those raises.
Yeah, there's too much of that attitude of, well, we don't really have a choice. There's not much we can do. We have to do this. And, again, we don't do that at home, though.
No, I like Teddy Roosevelt, some of the things he said. Like he's, you know, the best thing you can do in any situation is the right thing. The worst thing, or the next best thing is the wrong thing, but the worst thing is nothing.
Yeah.
So if you're doing nothing or you're just like, well, whatever, then you're not really leading. So you got to be able to take those arrows and stand up for what you do. You know, make a decision, be able to defend it, and you know, stay with it.
Tell me about something that's happened recently in West Fargo where you look at it and you go, they got this wrong, how they handled it.
There's something that in my mind with the Shea West thing, that there's something stinky going on there. And I don't know what it is. I can't seem to figure it out, but it's like there's just something about that just keeps there. It just keeps lingering and lingering. And there are ways I would think that you could solve that situation, make everybody in the whole neighborhood there happy, and you know, keep that business. Mm. I haven't found out what it is that's not correct on it. But I mean, there's some good things that have happened too. I mean, the budget was within, it went up 3%, but they balanced, you know, you got a balanced budget. So there's some good things, but I'd like to see that go the other way.
Yeah.
Let's reduce the size of the budget and still balance it.
Yeah. We've got a call that's come in, and if you want to put the headphones on, John. William is on line one. William, good morning. Welcome to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Your question for John.
I have an idea for him. If he was in government and set up a system where if a government employee notices waste and abuse and they report it secretly so that they don't get hammered, but secretly, they would get a monetary reward for that, so that you can notice where government is just wasting money or corruption.
William, thank you for that. Yeah, I love it. We're up against a hard break. I'm sorry for that. I think we got the point of your question or your idea. Hang on. John's going to hang with me for just another minute or so. We're going to let him respond to that when we come back on the Steve Holsham Show. Don't go away. Steve Holsham Show continues. John Severson, candidate for West Fargo City Commission, hanging with me because a good idea came in from William, but we had to take a commercial break. And the idea was, how about some kind of incentive where if a city worker comes up with an idea to save some money, there might be some little bonus going back that way. Did you like his idea, John?
I do. First thing, though, is if they come through, you know, secretly, you have the whistleblower thing. I would hope there would be no retaliation within the city if somebody brought something forth that's, you know, waste, fraud, or abuse. Right? Yeah. That would be the first thing. I don't know how you would structure it, but I'd be in favor of that if we did, you know, we'd have to figure out the right way to do it or the, you know, legally, those kind of things. But I think that'd be fantastic. I think in reality, it's incumbent upon every city worker to say something about something that's wrong within the city, not just let it go by.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, partly what happened in Minnesota, and then people just looked the other way when it went up the chain of command. Kind of it. And if that's happening, we need to address that too.
Kind of the old suggestion box in the corner,
kind of,
right?
In a way, yeah.
Do something like that. All right. Yeah. It's been great to have you in. Do you have a Facebook page or website
where people can
find out more about you and what you're up to?
So Facebook page.
Okay.
John Severson for West Fargo City Commission.
John Severson for West Fargo City Commission. Okay. So that'll be all taking place here this spring. I think the deadline is sometime early April to file. So, but right now, two people, yourself, Tyler Erickson, the other person who has at least announced, if not done the paperwork. Right now, it's two open spots. So if nobody else gets in, it's a simple deal. So, but there will likely be others. There usually is on this thing. So
hopefully so. Look for diversity, and we want to try to find the best people for the city, whether it's me or somebody else. But you know, hopefully they would choose me.
Great approach. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks,
John Severson. His second go around as a candidate. And it's been fun to listen. John would call me every once in a while doing the Steve Holstrom Show. And then a couple of years ago said, I actually want to try to make a difference. So good for John. And we appreciate his time. We'll give a call to Tyler too, get him on one of these days and find out what he has in mind as far as a way to serve the city. All right. Thank you to the text line 237-1590. I said, where's Baldwin, North Dakota? And somebody said it's northeast of Bismarck. So thank you. The state representative that I said had a good idea or a good way of looking at this whole school lunch thing was from Baldwin. So thanks for filling that in. All right. Going to have a little fun here on a Friday. Fun-filled Friday, we'll call it here. And we're going to play a little game here or a little segment, maybe not a game, called Truth or Trash. And I'm going to tell you something that I saw on social media and tell you if it's truth or if it's trash. And we're going to have a little fun with Oscar the Grouch and Jack Nicholson. So here we go. First candidate in the contest comes from Alex Plekish, the chair of the Republican Party of Minnesota. And he comments on Amy Klobuchar's apparent and imminent filing to run for governor while still keeping her spot in the U.S. Senate. Plekish says, Minnesota's in crisis. This is not a moment for politicians who hedge, waffle, or keep one foot out the door. If Amy Klobuchar wants to be governor, she should prove it by giving up her U.S. Senate seat and committing fully to the job. Leadership requires choosing. It requires guts. And right now she's showing neither. So is this truth or is this trap?
You can't handle the truth.
Absolutely it is, Jack Nicholson. We don't want her on that wall. We don't need her on that wall. If you're going to run for governor, go all in rather than keeping one foot. So I'm with you, Alex Plekish. All right. Next one comes from EJ Antoni. He's an economist I like to follow on social media. And he said, yesterday's numbers about GDP coming in at 4.4% for third quarter was not only the highest GDP print in 2 years, but the last time that GDP growth was higher, the government was contributing more than twice as much to the headline number. We are, as President Trump said, reprivatizing the economy. And I think this is absolutely the truth. And this is sneaky because you can have GDP growth, but when you have growth at the same time when you're downsizing government, that's hard to do. Because when you cut government spending, cut government payroll or whatever, you are still an economist doesn't really look at if the money coming in or going out is good or bad. They just look at where the money is and where it's going. So it's a great point that we're doing all this by growing the private sector of the economy. We're not making a bigger economy just by funding more government. So I thought that was really good. This one is obviously true. It's just a picture, honestly, that from the J.D. Vance's press conference yesterday. They had some U.S. flags, and then they had a Minnesota State flag there. But which Minnesota State flag do you suppose they had? They had the old one. That's right.
You can't handle the truth.
That is exactly right. That's the truth. We need more of that old flag right there. There is now an account on Twitter or X, and the account is run by the Quality Learning Center.
You can't handle the truth.
This is fantastic. If you go to Quality Learning on Twitter, you can see them. It's kind of like a Babylon Bee that takes shots at different things that the Democrats are saying. And they reacted yesterday to Ilhan Omar saying, Minnesota's getting hit with severely cold weather this week. Find your closest warming center here. And Quality Learning Center responds by saying, if you get cold, come to our school. We have plenty of open space.
You can't handle the truth.
Oh, that's so good. I absolutely love it there. All right. Tyler Durden, who runs a website called Zero Hedge, says, okay, the jobless claims news was really good. People filing first time and ongoing. But just remember, the job weakness is the reason that the federal government or the Fed was looking at cutting interest rates again. So rate cut odds are tumbling because of all this. And I think
you
this is so we got a lot of truth going on here today. And I thought that'd be fun to have a little fun with that here today. Back here we go with hour number two of the Steve Hallstrom Show on this chilly Friday. And I think I can safely say wherever you are listening to me today from, at least across the Midwest, if you're listening close to home. I know some of you are on vacation. Some of you may be living actually overseas. We get those notes every once in a while. It's kind of fun. But most of us, it's one of those days to be kind of careful about being outside. It's a nasty day today. Coming up here in just a little, although the sun's out and there's no wind, so that makes it actually not all that bad. We're going to be getting another qualifier for our big drawing for Valentine's Day in Vegas, thanks to All Sauger Meats. They had a big remote over there yesterday, and I guess it was just a total zoo, which is to be expected. You get to qualify or get to register for this unbelievable trip, and then All Sauger Meats is just the bomb to start out with. And they have such a great selection of steaks and roasts and chops and just the really good stuff. They've got it over there. You can get the thick-cut steaks over there. Oh, they're so good. They're so good over there. It's right from the farm, right to your table, or to your grill, in my case. And it's so good. The chicken breasts are phenomenal there as well. And now they've got some pizzas. So as if you needed another reason to go over there and just give them your paycheck, they have the carnivore all-meat pizza now, the creamy chicken Alfredo, the pepperoni classic, the signature supreme pizza as well. They got the chuck wagon beans, the ground beef bacon bits and the beans and the sweet sauce. Carl's Lefse made in Holly, only ones in the FM area that carry it retail there. And a veterans location is celebrating a two-year anniversary. So keep up to date by checking out their Facebook and Instagram pages. Four locations, Veterans Boulevard in West Fargo, Timber Creek Parkway, South Fargo, Breckenridge, Minnesota, and Audubon as well. They are the presenting sponsors of Valentine's Day in Vegas. So we will have another qualifier coming up in this hour of the program. So we'll be doing that coming up very soon. All right, let's get to the key three. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Stories that probably aren't everybody's lead stories, but I think they've got definitely a so what factor that you need to know about here. Story number one is a little bit of perspective that comes from the website Zero Hedge. Following last week's plunge back below 200,000 jobless claims, analysts expected a small rise this week. So we were down last week in first-time jobless claims. This is when you go on unemployment, you file to get your benefit, or you get the pink slip, and then you file. And there's been a fair amount of that this year as businesses have cut back, government agencies cut back. So last week, the number actually was pretty encouraging, under 200,000. Well, analysts expected that to go back up to about 209,000 this week, but the number of Americans filing for benefits for the first time remained right about where it was last week, 200,000. Now, that's notable because this time of year, you usually get a spike in this with the non-seasonally adjusted claim. So you have that adjustment for trends that typically happen, retail during the holidays and so forth, but it didn't happen. And we are now basically hovering, according to Bloomberg, at the lowest levels that we've seen, lowest first-time jobless levels since 1969. This is one of those numbers I look, I go, okay, I'm going to wait for next month to see what we have here and see if there's a revision, because this to me almost looks like a mistake. We still have businesses that are doing some layoffs. It's more of a no-hire, no-fire environment, and the government job, the bloodletting is down a little bit too. But to me, I don't know. It seems too good to be true. And I've said that a lot with this president. And I've been wrong a few times on this because it sticks. But to me, this is a weird number. Like, we're down that far 2 months in a row. I like it. I'm just waiting to see if it sticks, because good government, bad government, doesn't matter. Do you like the guy in office? Do you not like the guy in office? The federal data oftentimes is just a little messed up. It is. Continuing jobless claims also ticked down, 1.84 million Americans. That's the lowest number since November. And we were not far away from being as low as we've been since kind of back in the COVID era, where there was nobody filing continuing claims because there was a job for everybody. And the kicker on this, and Zero Hedge is talking about this quite a bit on their site today, is that because of all this, our expectations for rate cuts are going down, because inflation seems to be under control. So that would be, you know, a way to maybe get some interest rate cuts. But we are not really seeing a continual decrease in inflation. It's remaining very, very flat right now. But you had grounds for interest rate cuts when you said, well, the job market is soft. More people are losing their jobs, so we're going to have to do some cuts. I think the last couple of cuts we got were because of that. Well, that may not be the case any longer, to the chagrin of the president, I think, because he wants to see rates go down. But I don't know. It'll take a little bit more lobbying, I think, from some of those that want to see the rates go down further, with some of those that don't on the Fed board already. So that's story number one. I just thought those numbers were very interesting. I can't wait to see what next month's numbers have to show. The way it's going, I would not be surprised to see the good news continue. But it's been unbelievable, you guys. Unbelievable. I was talking with a friend of mine last night, a friend I went to school with. He's a little more liberal than I am. Definitely, he's center, maybe even center right, but definitely more liberal than I am on immigration and things like this. And even he said to me, like, man, the sheer amount of stuff that Trump has got done in this first year is just shocking. I said, I know. And I mean, it's all of it, right? Drugs and border and crime and foreign trade and you're taking out the terrorists and bombing Iran. And I mean, it's on and on and on and on and on. The guy never sleeps. And he's done more in 1 year than Joe Biden did in four. And it might not even be close. All right, story number two. This is one of those that I'd like to laugh at this one, but it makes me mad, so I really can't. Fox News is reporting that the federal judge in Minnesota who refused to sign off on an arrest warrant for Don Lemon, who broke into the church last Sunday with all those other criminals, that judge, his name is Douglas Micco, and his wife works in Keith Ellison's office. She is an assistant attorney general in the Minnesota Attorney General's office, Keith Ellison's office. Huh. Isn't that interesting? The guy who would refuse to sign up. Apparently, they signed off on the others, but not Don Lemon. Why do you suppose? I'll leave you to your own rational thought process to figure that one out. And finally, this note from a poll that came out from New York Times and Siena. I know, you're looking at me going, what? Listen to me on this now. They have done an economic conditions trend for the last several years. And the American sentiment on economic conditions is how you feel things are. Back in July of 2022, midway through the Biden administration, it was a minus 48 net. So the good minus the bad, minus 48. So horrible. October of 2024 was getting a little better, minus 28. But now Donald Trump gets in office, and in April of last year, minus 21. September, minus 13. They just did the poll again, minus 9. Things are, in the mind frame of Americans, more than five times better with the economy than things were in the middle of Joe Biden's term. So when you hear people saying, oh, things are getting better, the American people say they are. I thought that was interesting, and I thought you would too. Those are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today, the key three. When we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show, the best thing I heard all day, the ICE agents ripped away a five-year-old kid from his parents, they said. Didn't quite really happen that way, though, apparently. That's next. Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton is where you can find those fantastic pickup trucks, the F-Series, the Ford F-150s. Best-selling trucks in America for 50 straight years. Since 1977, the F-150 and the Super Duty have been the best-selling trucks for some serious reasons. Rock-solid durability, up to the nanosecond technology, and jaw-dropping capability. Leading the way for 40 straight years is tough business. Just the way F-Series likes it. You can find the Ford F-150s, new and pre-owned, down at Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. They got those Lincolns down there as well, the Navigators, the Aviators. Oh, there's some really cool vehicles that Lincoln is doing right now, and super cool. You see them driving around, you're like, that looks different. And they have stylish vehicles. They run forever. And the people at Vision Ford Lincoln, they're great at helping you find just the right vehicle. They got great financing options as well. 18 service drivers. So if you happen to live up here in the metro, you got to get that car down to Wahpeton for an oil change or service visit. They'll come and get the car, bring it down, do the work, bring it back to you. By the end of the work day or whatever, you got that car ready to go and it's been taken care of. While you're working, they're working too. Good people down there. DriveWithVision.com. DriveWithVision.com. Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. From the text line, Steve, do you think J.D. Vance should have met with leaders of Minneapolis and talked to them directly about how bad things are going in Minneapolis? To me, it seems like everybody's talking about the problems, but nobody's talking to each other. Well, here's what I don't know. I don't know if he tried. I don't know if they would meet with him, wouldn't meet with him. I don't know if they've been talking already. Maybe they've been on the phone. Typically, the vice president gets really involved with local issues when things happen that way. So maybe that had all the talking had kind of been done. Could they had some ceremonial get together? Maybe. But I don't know enough about what they've done. And it's easy to second guess and criticize. And we all do it. We say, well, maybe they should have done it that way. The thing is, you just got to remember, you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And you're either going to trust that Trump and Vance are generally doing the right things, or you're not. And if you are going to trust that they're generally doing the right things, you have to say, okay, there might be some stuff I don't really like, but give them the benefit of the doubt, because they're hitting it out of the park 95% of the time, which is kind of how I feel like they're doing. At least 95, but for sure, at least that much. So maybe they did. I don't know. My understanding is they did like a business roundtable and met with some legislative leaders on the Republican side. So, you know, I don't know where, you know, the people back home. I don't know from Washington, D.C., state legislature. I don't know what they did altogether. I don't know how much they've tried. Maybe they called Walls and Frye and they said, we don't want to be seen with you because, you know, they'll riot at our house. We don't want that either. I kind of feel like behind the scenes, Walls and Frye have probably been, or they should be if they're smart, have been a lot more friendly to these guys in person than they have been on camera to their people. And maybe it wouldn't be the first time they said, hey, look, I'm going to be a total jerk to you on this news conference today. Just know I'm trying to balance. It's a tricky balance here. But, hey, let's do what we can. So I just don't know. And would I have liked to seen it? Sure. But so many times when I hear a question like that, it's like, you really want me to criticize something? We just don't know enough. And I think we need to be honest when we say that we don't, to say, look, I don't know enough here. Seems this way to me, but I'm going to wait to see what happens here. And that's how I would look at that one. But thank you for the text. All right. Time for best thing I heard all day. It came from J.D. Vance yesterday in Minneapolis. They say a lot of things, don't they, on the left and in big media? They said the ICE agents detained a 5-year-old kid, deprived his parents of their child. They took that, they ripped that boy away. They like to use that word, rip away, you know, rip away health care, rip away better. They like to rip away that little boy from his parents. They said, what a bunch of monsters, these ICE people. They said, ICE needs to go home. But J.D. Vance yesterday in Minneapolis said a few things that maybe you haven't heard, but maybe you should.
A local school district here is alleging ICE agents detaining a 5-year-old after preschool on Tuesday. We've also seen multiple American citizens detained by ICE or harassed by ICE in the last 6 weeks. Are you proud of how your administration is conducting this immigration crackdown here in Minnesota right now?
Well, I'm proud of the fact that we're standing behind law enforcement, and I'm proud of the fact that we're enforcing the country's laws. But, you know, you asked a question about this 5-year-old kid. I actually saw this terrible story while I was coming to Minneapolis. We just left Toledo, Ohio this morning for an economic messaging event. And I see this story, and I'm a father of a 5-year-old, actually, a 5-year-old little boy. And I think to myself, oh, my God, this is terrible. How did we arrest a 5-year-old? Well, I do a little bit more follow-up research. And what I find is that the 5-year-old was not arrested, that his dad was an illegal alien, and then when they went to arrest his illegal alien father, the father ran.
Oh.
So the story is that ICE detained a 5-year-old. Well, what are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to let a 5-year-old child freeze to death? Are they not supposed to arrest an illegal alien in the United States of America? If the argument is that you can't arrest people who have violated our laws because they have children, then every single parent is going to be completely given immunity from ever being the subject of law enforcement. That doesn't make any sense. No one thinks that makes any sense.
It also came out yesterday that they had the 5-year-old kid and they found his mom. And they brought the kid to his mom and the mom didn't want him. So now ICE is going, okay, what are we supposed to do? And apparently the dad ended up coming back to where they were and ended up taking the kid after all. So, I mean, what are we doing here? If you got a dad that runs away, gets in a car, apparently was a car, drove away, left the kid there, you abandon your child. Well, like he said, are they supposed to leave the kid outside? And then you go to the kid's mom and the kid's mom doesn't. So I'm wondering a lot of questions here. Like, okay, is this really their kid or what's the story? I don't know if they gave the kid back to their dad. I don't know where they all are at. But isn't this something? This has been what the left has crusaded on for the last 24 hours. A five-year-old boy was detained, separated from his parents and the reporter. Are you proud of how you're right? I mean, that's not a question. That's an accusation, and everybody knows it. And funny, the story is a little different. It has never been more important to take a little time, just let the story settle, let the details come in, and not jump to conclusions. I've done it way too many times. You might have as well. But especially when things are politically charged, you get people that are taking these sides, and they're just going to look for everything. And Ilhan Omar tweets it out. Oh, okay. Well, then everybody's going to run with it because, of course, Ilhan Omar wouldn't say anything wrong. It's amazing how many times they are wrong and how many times the administration is right. When we come back on the program, our good friend Bridget Riedel will be with us, and we're going to talk about what's going on the farm. Our weekly chat with Bridget going down on the farm coming up next year on the Steve Hallstrom Show. And we've got a qualifier that we'll give you as well for the big contest. All that coming up in just a few. It's a good Friday tune, don't you think? It's kind of smooth sounds on a Friday. Easing into the weekend. Thank you, my friend, for hanging out with me here on this Friday morning. Scott Hannon coming up with the What's on Your Mind program here in just a few minutes. Bridget Riedel is our ag director here at Fieldstone Group, and she is a great source of information for everything going on in the world of agriculture, and we're thankful that we get to spend a few minutes with her every Friday here on the show. Good morning, Bridget. How are you today?
Fabulous to visit with you, Steve. That music makes you think of summertime, which is not a bad situation on a day like today.
No, it's brutal. How cold did it get at your place? Bridget's a little west, a little north of Fargo. How cold did it get overnight out there?
Currently, we're looking at a minus 19. I'm not even going to look at what the overnight was. Thankfully, there's sunshine. Currently feels like minus 41. You know, most of us, we're going to stay inside today. We're going to be fine. But our ranchers, they're making sure that watering fountains, hydrants are still open. They've opened up barns, spread some extra straw to bed down animals, and are probably giving a little extra protein in the ration to try to make sure we keep up those internal engines that keep those animals running warm this time of year.
I saw 26 below in Hawley. I saw that earlier today. It got to about 19 at my house in town. And I think right now we're at minus 17 or something. Yeah, there is a breeze out there today. It's not horrible, but you don't need much when it's, you know, 20 below, right? To make it pretty tough. Well, speaking of cattle, I know that you've been doing some research on dairy exports and how all of that kind of plays into this screwworm situation that is a big deal for cattle producers here in the state.
There's a couple of things going on. So one is when we think about where is the new frontier, so to speak, for dairy beverages, actually, it looks like it's Africa. Now, there's an exploding population down there, very youthful and health conscious. More than 1.5 billion people are driving a rise in the consumption of dairy beverages and what they're calling milk-based juices. So, interesting term, no doubt.
Right.
A lot of it is currently occurring domestically, but there is a larger portion of traded dairy products in the powdered form that are helping to increase what will be a upward trend through the year 2030. And in fact, of course, they are looking at milk supply shortages in certain areas of the continent. It's a large area to cover. It's not easy to get places. And so that's been a long-standing concern, probably for centuries in Africa. When they talk about beverages that they are using, it's not just what we think of as fluid milk, but buttermilk, yogurt, and other beverages that are going to contain dairy. And they include higher proteins, calciums, and so many more vitamins and minerals that go along with it. So there's a real change in eating habits, which is driving this trend across that continent. And dairy processors in African markets like Egypt, South Africa, and Zimbabwe are already expanding their own beverage portfolios to meet the growing need.
Interesting. I grew up in central Minnesota, and that's kind of big dairy country around St. Cloud especially, and a little east of there where I grew up. Here in North Dakota, we've got a lot of beef cattle, but we don't have a lot of dairy. There's a couple of big farms now that are going in. in the eastern side of the state. But you have any theories as to why it's, you know, kind of beef cattle in North Dakota and dairy cattle in Minnesota?
Once upon a time, we all had a lot more dairy in our states. Currently, North Dakota is somewhere in the neighborhood of 22 or 24 dairy farms in total before any new projects come into the state. When I think about what's changed over, as a dairy farmer's daughter myself, I remember the drought of the late 80s where hay became extremely expensive. There was also a dairy buyout because of the low milk prices, and it was an opportunity to farmers to liquidate herds and not have a complete loss. So there were some dollars that were refunded to those farmers so that we could lessen the amount of dairies in the U.S. It wasn't just a statewide project. And North Dakota really took that to heart. We had a lot of small family dairies that changed over. It's interesting to see how things have changed, how we now have an upward trend in dairy. As a country, we're not drinking as much fluid milk as we once did. But boy, do we love cheese. Ooh, and ice cream. Big consumption numbers there.
Yeah. Well, I've got to raise my hand on that. I probably drink less milk than I used to, but I probably eat more ice cream than I used to. So I'm a little guilty on that. Yeah, there's a push now on the milk thing, though. The president is pushing whole milk to come back in. And I guess it all went to skim milk kind of in the Obama administration. And now we're getting back to the whole milk. Do you take a stand on that? Is it a big deal what kind of milk our kids get?
I think it is a very big deal. When you look at whole milk and the additives of vitamin D and so forth, it's excellent not only for what we've always been taught, teeth and bone growth, but also brain development. It's really important, especially in young people. And the protein. Let's be honest. We have come out of an era where protein maybe wasn't as highly valued in our diets because everything is cyclical. We've all lived through the fat-free, low-fat, whatever diets that have been out there. Now we're looking at much higher protein levels, carnivore diet focuses, and more whole foods and grains. And I think with dairy, that's a great step up. Again, if you don't like milk, especially if you didn't have it as a kid, you're not going to like it as an adult. So starting kids out young will help them feel better, work better in school, and then grow into adults who say, you know, I still like a good glass of milk now.
Yeah, there you go. There's nothing better with some chocolate chip cookies. Or you can tell me I'm talking about ice cream and chocolate chip cookies. That's kind of me. Hey, how are we doing on, has there been much of a bounce back on soybean and corn prices? I know when you go back to, you know, early 22, compared to where we were back in late 24, the prices got cut in about half over that couple year period. And I saw there was a little rebound back right around Thanksgiving or so, but then we kind of dropped back down again. How are we sitting? What's the outlook for our producers that have a lot of corn and beans in the bin?
I think if you look at where our prices are, could they be manageable? They probably could be. I would say they've been flat for a lot of years. But here's the thing that we have to keep in mind, and especially when we're talking about corn and soybeans. Our input costs have driven up extremely high.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you think that you're still getting the same price roughly that you were getting 10 years ago, and often we look at this as a cash price, not a futures price where we're trading on contracts, you would look at your input costs that have gone up excessively, you know, at least a 30% increase in 10 years in what it costs to put that crop in the ground, but you're still taking off a similar price per acre. Now, bushels are better, and that's been great, but we can't out-bushel or out-yield our way to a better situation at this point.
Yeah, makes sense.
Now, corn and soybeans are one thing. Sugar beets just took them a pretty major hit. And I think we've mentioned that before, and the fact that with changes in diet, folks being more conscious with the carnivore diet or using the GLP-1 drug group, we are seeing a lot less sugar consumption, and that's going to be reflected in our sugar beet markets for the next few years.
You started something last week when you talked about the GLP-1 drugs. We were talking about beef and why there's been, you know, more demand for lean beef, and you mentioned, hey, well, all these people on these GLP-1 drugs, Ozempic and Wegovy, They need to have things that give them protein in their stomach to last a little longer. And then there's some people I've read, too, they're like, but people are not maybe going for the beef and the pork. They're going for the chicken a little bit more. So I guess some of those weight loss drugs, they make your stomach feel a little funky. So anything that has a lot of fat in it is a little tough. So you might see more sirloin maybe than prime rib on some of those plates, huh?
And it's really interesting. I have a buddy in Nebraska who really relies on the carnivore diet, not the drugs, but the diet. And in his mind, he believes that chicken doesn't have enough fat. And so he relies more heavily on beef. And most recently, I read an article in the fact that lamb is the most protein dense meat that we could consume.
Lamb. Mm-hmm. Oh, get your veal, huh?
Veal would come from a dairy calf, but lamb, which is the younger sheep, where mutton would be older, and you'll hear many people say, oh, I wouldn't eat that. Mutton has a very distinct flavor, and many, especially coming out of World War II, who had mutton as part of their diets in order to get some protein, did not like that. Lamb is very different. First of all, cutest little lamb chops you've ever seen.
Yeah.
But secondly, I use it in my cooking and I'm very happy with the taste and the flavor, particularly in Italian or Mediterranean dishes.
Ah, very nice. Okay.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Mexican screwworm, New World screwworm coming out of Mexico. At this point, the border is still closed. We do not want to see any cattle come across that could be bringing the screwworm with. We know that the most recent update on that screwworm was within about 100 miles of the U.S. border. Could this big cold snap draw down the possibility of that fly and or larvae crossing the border? Well, it might. Everything else out there is freezing to death. Maybe the screwworm will too.
Yeah, you don't want to screw around with that screwworm. I've heard that.
No.
Got to watch our language here on the Steve Alstrom Show, but you get the point.
We do. And currently, you know, it would be helpful to our overall processing if we were able to bring in animals from the feedlots in Mexico. But because of that concern with the screwworm, ranchers who helped to eradicate that back in the 1960s will tell you it is a horrible instance. It's a terrible pest that finds very minute openings in the skin, whether it's a scratch, whether it is a needle puncture from having done vaccinations.
Yep.
And the fly lays her larvae in that wound, and the larvae actually go after the healthy tissue. Unlike many times you see flies or maggots going after a dead tissue, this goes after the healthy, and really it can kill a newborn calf in 24 hours.
Yeah, interesting. Hey, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you, with interest rates having come down over the last few months, I know a lot of, you know, going into a new crop year, people are getting ready to, you know, get a new crop in the ground here this year. Has the interest rate come down, which is maybe a little more than a point here or so over the last few months, is that bringing a tangible change to the mood of people in the farm community, or all of these headwinds you're talking about, are they still so strong that, you know, point and a half really isn't going to matter too much to them?
I think the interest rate, I mean, it certainly does help. Interest is a big line item on many farm budgets and part of the discussion when they talk with their lenders about operating and so forth. So I think the combination of all the headwinds, slightly higher than where we've been for interest rates, let's say in the last 5 to 10 year average, does still make it difficult on a lot of operations. We're seeing less trade-ins and less new equipment purchases. I think tractor purchases are down 43% right now, year on year.
Okay. Bridget, great stuff as always. Thank you, my friend, for taking the time. You stay warm this weekend there, young lady, and have a great weekend. Thanks for taking the time on the Steve Alstrom Show.
You as well, Steve. Thank you.
Take care. The one and only Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. Well, the city's church is speaking out after three criminals were arrested breaking into their church on Sunday. Good for them. Three less people to march and chant today. Steve Alstrom Show, a couple minutes left. When our program is done, stay tuned for the What's on Your Mind program with Scott Hennen. Scott joins me a little early here today because there's been some breaking news that Scotty just heard about. What's going on, brother?
So, you know, this whole, we've talked a lot about on our shows, the whole debate over a free school lunch.
Yes.
And basically, Republicans went into the special session to deal with the whole health care issue from the feds, but they said, we're going to add this issue because we think it's super important.
Right.
And evidently, the governor and others had assurances from this group that is gathering signatures to put the school lunch thing on the ballot in November, that if the legislature passed it, they would drop their effort.
Right.
Okay. That's why they decided to do this. Now, again, the difference between the proposals in what the ballot measure would do is it would enshrine school lunch free for all
yes.
in the Constitution, meaning you don't ever change it. You right. literally amend the Constitution, and the only way you'd ever take it out of the Constitution is another vote to say, yeah. And so that's why Republicans, although not all thrilled about the idea of free school lunch for all, because many of them believe it's a solution in search of a problem, right? I mean, it's just, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So the House passes it. It goes over to the Senate. They had a Senate vote in the last hour, and the Senate voted it down by two votes.
Okay.
So now they don't have any, you know, it's a short special session. It likely will go to a ballot measure, which I'm told by a number of people that even Republican polling on this, like Governor Armstrong's constantly polling things, right, as the
yeah.
top Republican in the state, and even his polling showed Republican support in the mid-60s for this.
Yeah,
overall, it's like
70-some,
you know,
right.
percent, and we've been hearing from the other side 80%. And evidently, there's a ton of money behind this effort to get it on the ballot.
Of money behind it.
They're saying they have
from right here in North Dakota.
Oh, I don't think it's from North Dakota.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
What a surprise that might be.
I'm told they already have 10,000 signatures. I don't know if they're bluffing on all this or what, but you know, I'm so crabby about this. This is why we have $38 trillion in debt.
Oh, the Steve Hallstrom show is getting good here, friends.
Right? I mean, when and again, this is I put this on Republicans. How do Republicans not say enough already?
Well, the other bill was the one that made some sense. Up to $100,000 of adjusted gross income, and you get your free school lunch. So if you're making $150,000, you wouldn't get free lunch.
Nor should you.
Raise it up a little if you feel like you have to.
Well, that's
that. But everybody gets the freebies.
I've asked about that. Robin Nelson on the Fargo School Board is part of this committee, and she was on. And you know, they claim that you know it's. It's uncomfortable for you to get it free and me not to get it free. And so this is better for all to have it. They talk about food insecurity.
Oh, yeah.
Here's my favorite thing. In 2023, there were $6 million allotted for, again, a means-tested. The federal government already does some of this
yes.
for low income. And then
the state puts on top of that.
To you know close the gap a little more, add a
yep.
little more.
Yep.
And of the $6 million they allocated for the free lunches for the people who need it, only 2/3 of it was spent.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
so now
yeah.
we're going to go from what was a $6 million item to $70 million a year
yeah.
to do it for all. Put it in the Constitution. Doesn't matter what mm-hmm. what we have in the bank, what is there for. So, yeah. Anyway, and I've asked some of the House members, like, can you fix this now? Or are you going to? And I don't even know if I want them to fix it. Maybe we should just fight a battle for once on common sense.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, you can look at it and say, oh, great, now it's going to go to a vote. But If Steve Hallstrom is one of the lawmakers in Bismarck, I have to vote for what's right. Not, well, we can't do anything about it. It's going to go through whatever. If it's right, vote for it. If it's wrong, don't vote for it. I applaud the senators for voting against it. I know that my whole stance is very unpopular on this. I get it. I don't care. There's a way to do this that makes some sense, which we're doing already. 225% of poverty level. You're getting your kids' breakfast and your lunch already. So I don't know. I'm glad they voted down because now we can have the debate and I guess we can have a whole bunch of out-of-state money coming. And by the way, who's writing big checks to try to get this through? Like, who is going to benefit from this? Why would someone want to underwrite this measure? I don't get it.
Well, it's a push by, you know, different groups. I've heard a couple
things. To do what, though? What are they going to get out of it?
Well, they want it. By the way, this exists in, I think, 6 other states. They happen to all be blue states.
Nine states, yeah. Other Democrat states.
All
yep.
blue states.
Yep.
So we'd be
and
the
us.
First red state to do it. So I imagine these groups that have done it, and that happens from time to time where somebody's got some mission that they want to do and they have a big funder behind it and they do it, you know, George Soros-like fashion, I guess. Love socialism, free everything for everybody. I don't know. I also heard that, you know, this group has not been very successful politically in North Dakota, and they needed a win, and they saw the polling on this, and this was kind of their kumbaya win. So,
my new hero, State Representative Sue Ann Olson of Baldwin, North Dakota, just northeast of Bismarck, I learned today. If we do this, we will be known as a super Republican majority state, joining 9 other Democrat majority states to do this. The platform I hold very dear on the Republican side talks about personal responsibility and limited government as things we hold dear. Instead, we're willing to spend money on an additional program to make government bigger, not smaller, and not relying on our people to take responsibility. Well said. I can't argue with any of that.
Vast majority of listeners on my show have been think this is a bad idea. I can't find anybody in favor of it. Oh, very few.
It's been probably two-thirds, one-third here. I've had about a third of the people on this show say, oh, you're on the wrong side. Jay Thomas is right. So I don't know. We'll see. But it's not going to get through this time, apparently. Scotty, thanks. Stay tuned for Scott and much more of the What's on Your Mind program. That'll do it for the Steve Holsham Show. Thanks for hanging out with me today. Stay warm, my friend. Have a great weekend and keep on flying that flag.